everyone, and welcome back to our Develop podcast. We are so very excited to be back with you all as we continue to connect, grow, and inspire together. Joining us today for this episode is Cole Elliott. He is a Dallas Tax Senior Manager. Cole has more than 11 years of experience in public accounting, practicing business and individual tax compliance and consulting, and focuses on clients in numerous industries, including real estate, construction, restaurants, and hospitality, high net worth individuals and families, oil and gas, and financial industries. He is all over the place. So Cole, I'm happy you are here and welcome to our Develop podcast.
Thanks, Danielle. So glad to be here today. Glad to take time out of my day to learn a little bit about myself, and hopefully everyone has a good story to tell, and we'll see where it goes. So
yeah, well, let's jump right in if you're ready.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about you first. Take us back. Where did you grow up? Where did you attend college? Let's get to know you.
So I am from Amarillo, Texas. Proud to be from West Texas. It was a great place to grow up. Really have a great base there and a lot of friends and family. So I always like getting up to the panhandle whenever I get a chance to. I attended Baylor University. Kind of a crazy story. Baylor was not one of my first choices. I was looking to go play basketball. Really anywhere that would take me on the East Coast, some of these small schools, Division III, little private schools, and applied, and nothing ever worked out. And so at the very end of my senior year, I just applied to, had some friends going to Baylor, and applied and went down and visited and thought, man, this could be a really good place for me. And so just ended up in a great spot. So
yeah, and you loved it, right? Big Baylor fan?
I am a pretty big Baylor fan. Yeah, I'm a good Baylor fan. I was there when we were not a athletic powerhouse. So I got humbled there. But it's been great to kind of rise through all the athletic success. But it's been great also an educational. It seems to have everything's kind of grown. The school, the new business school, all the new buildings and dorms. So it's been nice to kind of see Baylor grow from where it was kind of there. And also Waco is a town that when I was there was just kind of a place. I had a lot of friends make fun of me. Why did you pick Baylor? It just didn't seem like a place that you would enjoy. And but now it's kind of a place where I'm like, hey, look at this.
It's a hotspot town.
Look, you want to come meet me at Waco? And it's weird to see how it's grown because I never really thought it was going to do that. And
yeah.
So to see that, I'm really proud of how Baylor and proud of the city of Waco for the way that they've grown.
So. Yeah, they've grown tremendously. So it's fun to go back there and on the campus side, seeing how their school of business has grown, and they've got an awesome setup.
They do. I mean, from where I was at to where it is now, it's night and day. It felt like it was always been a great school, but now it's world class, and what they've done and the technology they've built in there and the opportunities the students have. It's just really great to see. And really, really proud of Baylor.
Way to be part of that growth.
I know, yeah.
So tell us, you told us how you ended up at Baylor. So how did you end up choosing, to pursue a degree in accounting? Do you have accountants in the family? Was it something you always knew you wanted to do?
I'm actually the first person in my family, my immediate family, to go to college. So I was the first one and first graduate. I went in starting thinking I was going to do pre-dental, and got through the first semester, took some science classes, realized real quick that that's not going to be for me. The classes were just not that interesting to me, and the amount of time and the work that it was going to take to do that was just not going to be for me. So I promised my dad, I was like, hey, I'm gonna switch, but I'm gonna choose something that is difficult and I feel like it's gonna be worth every dime that you're paying for. So when I started in the business school, I took the first accounting class, and everyone said accounting was such a great degree, and I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot and see how this first class goes. And I made an A in the first accounting class. I was like, okay, I'm gonna do accounting. I clearly have a knack for this, and it's interesting enough. And it's a good choice for my dad to pay for Baylor.
On. Yeah.
So yeah, getting into the core and everything, just really enjoyed it. You know, my the small class size. You know, it's pretty cool when you get into your accounting core, like you have a small groups and how everyone kind of bonds together. And so I'm really, really happy with the accounting experience there at Baylor, and you know, came out really feeling really good about it, and really enjoyed my tax classes. And so having that tax background there, this was a really great start to my career. So
yeah. I always love when people say I really enjoyed my tax classes.
It's always a good thing to hear. It's so nerdy and weird, but yeah, it was one of my favorite classes, and it just made sense. And I used to, in my mind, kind of like I always like to read, and so the code and law and stuff like that. So business law class and then my tax class were my two favorite classes at Baylor.
Good.
So it was pretty neat.
So you knew tax from the get-go too.
It was never a question.
Yeah.
It was taxed all the way. Like I just liked the reading aspect more and the problem solving more than the actual like numbers part. Like,
yeah.
I would say I'm probably not the best mathematician. So I make up for it with my problem solving and reading it.
There you go. Yeah. Lean into your strengths.
Yes, exactly.
And let other people do the rest. But I think that's a great tip you touch on, you know, starting out in a different degree and it didn't work out. I think there's a lot more pressure nowadays from students where like they have to know what they want to do freshman year. And like, you really don't. Like, you probably shouldn't, because it should probably change. So
I mean, it's getting so bad. Like, it's going all the way down to like the middle school. My son just started sixth grade, and like they're even like pressuring like now, like kind of like what path you're going to be on, and like just really kind of just narrowing kids' options. And it's really sad, because like you really don't know until you really kind of get there. And,
yeah.
And hope it's not too late. And I was lucky to be able to pivot and to really thrive in something new. And it really worked out for me. But
that's
great.
And at Baylor, did you have good resources to go to, that like advisors that say, hey, this isn't working out for me, what are some other options, or who did you lean on for that?
I did. And that's a really great thing about Baylor is that the network that they have in the advisors and the staff in the business school, they really do a good job in really helping guide people on the right path.
Yeah.
They have resources for ask questions. My professors were really great. They set me down. I remember one professor in accounting was like, I think I did one bad on one test. And she was like, are you sure this is really what you want to do? And I was like, ma'am, I promise you this is what I want to do. You'll see the next time. And I went and aced the next test and made enough grades to get into the next part. So they really do care and really want to make sure that you're on the right path. So kudos for Baylor for having that environment.
That's awesome. Great tip to utilize those resources that you have while in school. I think it's really important. So don't feel like you just have to do something and not enjoy it, but find something that you're passionate about.
No, And next to getting involved with your professors and the advisors are the most important thing you can do, because they see you, and that's what they're there. They're there to get you through and to be successful. So true. Utilize that.
So walk us through your on-campus, recruiting experience. So what was it like for you at that time, and how did you navigate, the process of it all, decided where you went to intern, what city you wanted to be in? Walk us through it all.
So I have a little bit different path to where I am now than the normal student. I didn't do an internship. I instead chose to do an internship in DC, the U.S. for a representative, Matt Thornberry. So instead of doing a county internship, I went to DC and lived there for the summer and worked in the Capitol building. So
fun,
which was awesome.
Yeah,
not so great for accounting, but from a world experience, it was awesome. Really taught me a lot about myself and really grew up kind of quick, living in a large city, coming from Amarillo, Texas to Waco, it's about the same size, and then moving to DC by myself was a pretty awesome experience and really helped me kind of develop myself as a person.
Yeah.
I had by the time I got back from my senior year, I interviewed with some firms that I wanted to work with. I never wanted to go Big Four, so I really just kind of X that out. And mm-hmm. So started looking at some firms that were smaller and found the right fit and, signed my letter before I graduated and So it was pretty smooth. I didn't have to go through the rigorous internship process that a lot of kids do. Now that I'm a part of the other side, it's crazy to see, but I when I was a student did not go through that process.
So, okay. So when you came back from your internship in DC, which by the way, I'm sure that stood out on a resume, especially going through public
accounting. Yeah, I get a lot of questions.
Like, what was this? But what were some of the things that were important to you in finding a firm post-graduation?
For me, it was finding a place that I could fit in and grow. Someone told me, when I was going through the process, find a firm because when you go to work every day, you want to work with the people that you feel comfortable with, and you're going to, like I said, working these hours. So find a firm that fits you culturally, and you want to really succeed there. And so I found a firm that was small. I had some ties back to my hometown, some people that I knew, and so I really felt comfortable there, and I really enjoyed my time there. So. That's what I always stress when I'm on campus is when you're interviewing these firms, like really just imagine yourself, working there full time with these people. And if you can't feel comfortable with that, you probably should reassess the firm because you're not going to enjoy your time there, which is going to be most of your time when you start your professional career. So I was lucky to find that, and never had any issues. So.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's a decision you can make long term, not just, maybe what looks best on a resume, but
Agreed,
your perfect fit is.
And then that's what I say. Yeah, like I said, you're going to get you the most out of it. And the most important thing in your early career is gaining experience.
Yeah.
You come out of college and you have the skill set, but you really need to develop it in practice. And so if you're not doing that and not enjoying that work, you'll burn out real quick and you'll never get that really good experience that you need in those first couple of years to decide if this is even for you. Public accounting is not for everybody. In these 11 years, I've seen more people just get out of it than more stay. Sometimes you look up and you're like, well, I'm like the only person around.
Yes.
But yeah, it's you just really need that hard work and experience to find out this is going to be for you. So
love it. We need to take that clip and pull it and have all of these students re-listen to that.
I know.
It's great advice. So you develop a lot of skills in school. And then, as a young professional, as you're starting out in your career, and certainly a lot of these skills I'm sure you still use throughout your career now. What would you say, what were your biggest takeaways and learning experiences early on, and how have they played a role now as you are continuing to grow personally and professionally?
So developing a work ethic was the biggest thing I could tell students, and it really was the biggest part of my career. It started in school because I always had to work hard. I feel like I had to work harder on some of the classes than some of my fellow students. So I was always in the library, doing all-nighters, just working as hard as I could to make the best, to get through the classes and the curriculum and learn the most I could. By doing that, I felt when I got into my career, that's like, well, I got through all this work. Like, I can take that and do that in this job. And it really just put in the work. Always, raise your hand when there's more, anyone needs any help. Just make yourself available and just put in that time and learn. Because like I said, those first couple of years, you're re-interviewing at that point. You got the job, but your first couple of years, you're re-interviewing. And you're interviewing by the way that you work and the way that you handle yourself at the office. And so I think a lot of kids think, oh, I got that job. All you got to do is just kind of coast through. And then, you got 2 years, I'll get promoted. It's like, no, you start that day one as a whole new interview process for the rest of your career. And so, those skills that you learned and your work ethic that you learned in college, like take those skills and then develop them even further through your career and start that. So, I think people just kind of realize once they get that job, I think it's not over. Like you're all constantly interviewing for the rest of your life.
Constantly interviewing, constantly learning, right?
Yes. Yep.
So tell us about some struggles or setbacks you experienced as a young professional, early on. Walk us through maybe how you overcame those. Any tips that you still use today?
So I was not a model first year accountant. I'll be the first one to tell. You can ask any of my first bosses. I need a little bit of growing up. So one thing I did was I did not take the CPA exam for a full year.
Okay.
So if you are looking to be a professional CPA, like, you probably don't want to take my advice and do that. You want to start immediately.
Yeah.
Need to get a full year of living, you know, in the city and with friends and post-grad to kind of get it all out of my system. And yeah, so I have several meetings with some of the partners, like, are you sure this is for you? Like, is this what you want to do for the rest of your life? And so they're really nice to give me that 1 year of grace. And then it's kind of had pressed the button and said, okay, now it's time to start my career.
Which was tough, I'm sure, right?
It was. And getting married and then having a child shortly after that is another natural way to, hey, it's time to get down to real life. So the best thing you do is don't do what I did.
Which is still good advice. So any other advice you would give, you know, your younger self now, knowing what you know, aside from, you know, get on the CPA ASAP, but any other advice you would give yourself for everything you've experienced so far during your professional journey?
You know, definitely the CPA portion, but, you know, I got through it. I was lucky enough to have a long enough rope to get me through that. But just continue to just day one, just start working hard and really focus in. Like I said, earlier, you know, your first job is an interview, and now knowing this now, you know, being where I'm at, like, it really, I was looking at my young self. I was like, man, I would hate my young self. Like, you just can't do that. And I see kids that make that choice, and you just sit them down and say the same things that was told to me. Like, it's time to start your career. This is not college anymore. It's time to get down to business.
Yeah, so, certainly a good mentality to adopt earlier on than later.
It is, yeah. So luckily, like I said, lucky to have that extra rope. But get to business quicker and start your professional career.
Love it. So let's talk about some of the things that you get to work on professionally. What type of clients do you primarily work with? And walk us through, you know, your growth over the years at each level, how you've progressed.
Yeah, so a lot of my clients fit a kind of a typical mold. They're a little on the smaller side, but they're a business owner and kind of their family wealth and business. So we're doing like all of their family business, and then we're doing their personal, their trust. We're kind of doing the full gamut of their life, and so it's really great to work with them because you get a chance to see everything. It's not in the work that we do, you know, at the business affects, you know, everyone from other generations to the trust. And it's so great to be able to plan and kind of and to build those relationships. Because a lot of times you're working with, you know, the patriarch and the family, but then, you know, as they get older, then you start working with the next generation. And so I'm kind of getting to that step now where I cut my teeth at the beginning of my career, you know, with the patriarch, you know, doing as a staff. And then now kind of working with him as we kind of pass that down to the family and working with the next generation. So that's been awesome to kind of be that full circle. And now that, you know, a lot of working with people that are my age, you know, kind of who are now kind of working into their business, and it's either starting new businesses or taking over their family business, stuff like that. So it's really great to take that things I learned when I was young, when I was working with, you know, the patriarch, to now kind of pass that on to the next generation.
So, yeah. And it sounds like you get to really build and, you know, more of an intimate relationship with your clients. I'm sure that's fun to,
you know, I have so, like I said, I have clients that I worked on my first year for 11, 12 years. And so, yeah. And that's why I said, when I'm out there prospecting and looking for new clients, I'm building that relationship. Like I had when I started, you know, this is not just a couple years and then you go find somebody else. Like, this is a lifetime. Like, this is, I want to build, you know, grow with you and be your trusted advisor. So that's always the best part of my job, is building those relationships with the client and helping them out, you know, not just 1 year, but, you know, for 10 years. So
love that. Anything else, you know, some things that you love most about what you get to do aside from the relationship building part? You know, I'm sure it's fun to make the transition as well to more of a leadership role and develop our future leaders here. So what do you love about what you get to do?
I do love that as well. So like I said, it starts at the recruiting. I love, you know, so recruiting, you know, great talent to the firm. And then once they get here, it's great to you know, develop them as they start their career and remember those things that I had when I was young, and then, you know, get them in front, get them excited about the clients, get them excited about, you know, public accounting and then all the things that really make my job so great. And so it's great to pass that along and mentor them. And like I said, just being a, you know, being someone that they can, you know, come in their office and always know that, you know, I have an answer for them or whatever they need, whether it be professional or personal. That's been great. Like I said, the best part of my job is coming to the office and either meeting with clients or meeting with people. I just enjoy the interaction. I could never work remote if I had no one to talk to. I have to always be around people. And so this has been great to get back in the office and be around my fellow coworkers and staff. So
for sure. So you've mentioned this, and you know, you're really involved in our current campus development efforts, which we love having you on board. How important do you think it is to get involved in these efforts, you know, within your own firm or organization?
It's so important. I think it's one of the most important things, the lifeblood of a firm, to continue to bring in new talent and develop that talent. Like I said, we, you know, always, if your firm, wherever firm you're at, especially this firm, we're always trying to grow and develop. And so to not have that new talent there, it really stifles growth, and you really have to have it every year, bringing in new people, and then making sure those people keep, you know, on their career path and develop, so they can be future leaders. Every time I'm on campus, I tell anyone I talk to, I was like, we're looking for future partners, and we really mean that. It's you know, I want you to come in, and I want you to develop, and we want one day you to be a partner. If we're not doing that, we're really wasting your time and wasting our time. So we're really upfront with that, and I think that's a great opportunity when we go on campus to be able to say that and to really, you know, hold that true.
Yeah, so. And how great to get involved, you know, even staff and seniors, and I always encourage them, like, you're getting to bring in the interns and staff that are going to be working for you.
Yeah.
So how cool to play a part in that, you know, bring on people you like.
Exactly. Yeah, I do it with clients, you know, find clients that you like and find people that you work with. So if you're making all those choices, you're in charge of your career. And so I think that's a great advice to anyone in public accounting who's unhappy, is make your career.
Yeah.
Get involved in recruiting. Go recruit the people that you want to work with. Go get clients that you want to work for. And then you have no complaints because you're the one in charge.
Yes. so good. So what excites you now most for young professionals who are just getting started in their career, whether it's intern or staff level?
What excites them? Excites me. Well, the most thing that excites me, this is so kind of like lame, is really just seeing them get some of the concepts that were so difficult for myself when I got started. And I don't want to get too technical about what those were, but there's some concepts that just, when they click, it's just so awesome to see them get it. And because it's so important for their growth, once they hit those concepts, that they'll be able to just take off. So when I see these kids come in and we're doing with their interns and we're reviewing returns, and I'm like, oh, you got that. That's awesome. And we'll go talk to them and be like, hey, keep growing on this because it's so important. Once you get this, then you can start moving on to this, and then you'll really become an asset.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of take off from there. So it's really great when like that light bulb just goes off and you're like, oh, I know you got it, and I know you're going to be successful.
Love that. So professionalism and soft skills are really important, you know, in any industry that we're involved in. So what mentalities do you believe are the most important to adopt as you are growing within your career? So less on the technical side, more on the soft skills.
Yeah. So I think it's important. Attitude is number one, is just having a positive attitude and be able to work with your peers every day, coming in with a smile, just being positive and coming with a smile on your face, whether a terrible day or whatever, just come in, you're always being positive. Mm-hmm. That's going to give you such a leg up on everyone. I love to see people come in the mornings. I mean, you're during tax season. I know that everyone's been working really hard, but I see the smile on their face and I know that they want to be here. And it's just like that's something that's so important. So, I know it's tough, sometimes always to be that, but it's just, if you can always work on being positive when you're here, you think you're being really go a long way.
One of the easiest things you can do, right?
It is. Just a
domino effect, for sure.
Yeah, and attitude. Like I said, the attitude, and it didn't have to just be positive, but just always, you know, always be a helper, having a servant mentality. Like, I really want to serve my clients. I want to do a good job. And that is just, it goes a long way as well. And these are all things that anyone can do.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing technical. You don't have to be the smartest person in the room, but you can be the hardest worker. And that's something you can control. You can have the best attitude. So when I'm on campus too, like, you know, I look at that as well. And then sometimes that's more important to me than the GPA.
Yeah.
Like, if I see students and I look at their resume and I see all kinds of things that I think translate into hard work, and then I will look at that over what a GPA says and say, I think this person, you know, if there's any technical shortcomings, it can be easily made up with their attitude and their hard work.
Yeah, so. I think that's fun about, you know, building, you know, firm culture. It's all about those types of things. And, you know, on the campus side, when we're getting to know students, we're looking for things like that, right? Just getting to know them as a person and what they're passionate about, what excites them, what value they want to add. I think it's so fun.
Agreed.
The technical, we can train them, right?
That's true. Yeah, we can make that up. But like I said, some of those soft skills are so important. They're the most important thing.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. So let's talk about, you know, getting involved with organizations outside of the office. So are you, you know, what specific organizations are you involved in or maybe have been involved with? And what are some of the biggest benefits to, you know, allocating your time spent with these organizations outside of, you know, just doing what you do every day?
It's so important to be well-rounded in anything that you do, in your professional career. We spend a lot of time here in the office, but I tell people to get out as much as you can, give back to your community. Whitley Penn's been so great about having tons of opportunities to do that. Like I said, just starting with the American Heart Association, it's been a great opportunity. Julie Womack over there has been fantastic to work with. Really, really enjoy raising money for that cause. My father, who has had some heart issues, really hits home, and so, you know, to be able to give back to a community like that and to an organization has been fantastic. Between that and doing a lot of work with my son's school, and that's my two biggest organizations kind of that I work with. I said anyone that's getting involved, it's never too early.
Yeah.
For year one, whether you just show up to a heart walk or go to a food bank or something, anything you do, just give back. Spend a little time, you know, each month, each quarter, and do what you can.
So, yeah, raise your hand.
Yeah, we can always use the help.
Yeah, it's important for, you know, young professionals to see our leaders doing that and knowing that they can already start to get involved. Whether, you know, we say, you know, time, talent, treasure, right? If you can't give money to an organization, that's A-okay. There's other ways to get involved.
Yeah,
so.
And it's next, never too early. Like, first month, just, you know, raise your hand. It's a great place to also, or a great time to really meet the firm leaders and other staff people, like getting involved. And like, you know, it's not just all about what you do here. It's, you know, a lot of times the more fun stuff is outside the office.
For sure. So. Well, thanks for all you do for the American Heart Association. I think that's great that your team, you know, gets to see you be part of that. So tell me a little bit about what do you love doing outside of the office? You know, what's home life like and how do you find balance between it all? Certainly there's busier times a year. So give us some of your tips on balancing work and life.
So it's, you know, it's been a little crazy the last couple of years with COVID and everything. It's actually been kind of neat because it has given me a chance to be home more and really work in a remote setting. My son is just started sixth grade, is now playing tackle football, which is I try to make every practice at least catch some of it, games and all that. So trying to do that and really balance it is can be tough in this profession, but it just takes a lot of planning. And my wife has been fantastic. She's like the world's best planner, and so it's great. And she kind of keeps the ship going, it just takes planning and just really getting a chance to make those family moments count. With the experiences, you know, so always trying to go to the lake or just all kinds of just plan things just to, whenever you have time, just to make the best of it while you're there. So
yeah, have a good plan and have a good team around you, right?
Yeah, team. Yeah, it was a teamwork makes a dream work.
Yeah, I love that. So tell us, Cole, what are some things that, you know, really inspire you? Do you have any advice for anyone feeling, maybe if they're feeling lost in what they're currently doing or, you know, bogged down by different obstacles they're facing professionally or even personally?
Yeah, I'm always, like I said, a forward thinker and really not so much goal-oriented, but really just pushing forward. I try not to get caught up in the past, but always really just focus onto the future. And so whenever I find myself down professionally and obstacles are facing me, I always put my head down and just keep going forward and pushing on, knowing that hard work will prevail. And so that's always been really good for me. And so I'm not the most inspiring person, but like I said, just hard work for me has always kind of got me through the hardest obstacles and really just focusing and really just putting it down and moving forward. Never stopping and never dwelling in the past.
Yeah.
Learn from your experiences, but don't dwell on them and let them hold you back. Always learn from them and keep pushing forward. Because if you do that, I think you'll be so succeed.
I think that's super inspiring. I love that. Thank you. So if you could be doing anything else professionally right now, what would you be doing and why?
I'd probably be fly fishing in Colorado.
There you go.
I know that doesn't pay the bills, but yeah, that's if anyone knows me pretty well, like I'm love to be outdoors.
Okay.
Go to concerts and like I said, fly fish, golf, stuff like that. So anything that would be recreational outdoors, I could see myself doing.
And how many times do you get to fly fish a year?
You know, I used to do a lot more, about once a year usually.
Okay.
Yeah, we went last year in Colorado, going to Wyoming here in a couple of weeks.
So fun.
I'll do it here too. So I've adapted fly fishing to local ponds and streams. You can catch me all over Colleyville at the local ponds with my son fly fishing. I'm the one guy fly fishing while everyone else is throwing out worms.
There you go. If you see that one guy in Colleyville, that's Cole Elliott, everyone, for you.
Yeah, we'll hop. Yeah, there's some fences we'll hop, and it's
I love that. Sounds fun. I'm sure your son loves doing that with you too.
He loves to fish. Yeah, he does.
So fun. So, you know, trends are always changing, updating, evolving. How do you stay updated on new trends and any resources you rely on to keep you up to speed with what's going on? You know, how to stay connected within our specific industry or, you know, even just as a professional and leader for your team?
So I read a lot of news. You know, I used to be better at working in D.C. I really thought I was going to get into politics. So I do still follow a lot, especially the bill making process. And it's so important for tax because, you know, a lot of our support bills, you know, they start in Congress. And so I do keep a really good track on kind of what's upcoming legislatively. So I'm not really like caught off guard. Mm-hmm. Just read, just stay up, you know, find your good sources, and just, you know, kind of keep yourself, you know, well read. You don't have to, you know, read a I'll be honest, I haven't read a book in a long time, but I always kind of keep up with current events, current news, know the, you know, the kind of the pulse of the political climate, you know, kind of where things are moving. And so I'm able to help my clients because I get more questions now, like, you know, what's happening legislatively, what's going on in Washington. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, I mean, can't tell you exactly, but at least can give you an idea.
Yeah,
what I feel, you know, based off of kind of what the news and the resources we have, and the firm does a great job of providing all kinds of different resources for us.
Yeah.
So, just when you start your career, just continue to learn and get your sources, and just kind of have a network of good information while you're always constantly learning. Yeah. So
do you have a set time maybe in like your daily routine, or is it a morning thing where you kind of run through those
headlines during the day. I don't have time. You know, I've kind of set myself on my phone, anything like that. So I have resources there. You know, just whenever I have a little time, just kind of kept reading. And I have a good network of friends that send emails out, and kind of we have a. It's kind of funny. I have a group of dads that we have a large group meet, and there's always tons of discussions about business legislation and a lot of small business owners and stuff. So we always are kind of throwing things off each other. And they're always asking me tax questions, and they're asking them business questions. So it's really great just kind of finding a network of people that are like minded that can run that kind of stuff by each other. And,
I like that.
And just you can't know everything, but if you build a network, you can rely on that. You can take on more information as a group than just as a single person.
So, I love that. Use those resources you have. So lastly, any books, podcasts, I know you haven't read a book in a while, you said, or any shows recommendations you want to leave our audience with. So this could be on the growth side or development or just personal. What's grabbing your attention right now? Anything fun?
Well, I'm going to tell you, this is the first week of September coming up, and that is the first week of college football season. Mm. So, going to be taking most of my viewing, activity away.
That's some good work-life balance.
So it'll be it starts Thursday and usually goes through Sunday. From a TV standpoint, I'm trying to think of the last podcast book that I read. I think there was that Work Week one, the 4-hour Work Week or something. Really just efficiency and things like that. So you find something that you really . Can help you professionally and you enjoy reading and just continue to grow. Don't do what I do, because I'm not the best at keeping up with that as I should be. So
that's okay. It sounds like you've got a lot of good tips and tricks and resources, and you've built a lot over these years that have kind of led you in a good direction too. Good mentalities you've adopted.
I hope so. I'm here, and I'm pretty excited. I said I love what I do. I love coming in the office. I love working with my clients. It's been a wonderful experience. Like I said, best advice, just continue to grow and make yourself a better person every day and keep going forward. So.
Well, thank you. Yeah. That's great to leave our audience with. And, thanks again for joining me today, sharing your story, advice with our audience. I look forward to watching your continued growth and success. And we are super lucky to have you on our team. And best of luck to Baylor this year. I'm an OU girl, so.
Well, you won't be a conference mate very soon.
That is true. But hopefully they'll have a good season this year for you.
Yeah. Thanks, Danielle, for having me today. Really enjoyed taking time out of my day. And so,
love it. And as always, I would love to connect with each of you on LinkedIn and engage with you all as you are developing in your career. So please reach out, make sure to listen, share this podcast if it provided you value. And we look forward to hearing about all your stories as we continue to develop, connect, and inspire one another. Thank you.